5, 7 o'clock if we can get this meeting started. Everyone please rise and pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call please.
Colosimo.
Present.
Coke.
Here.
Milchewski.
Here.
Clocher.
Here.
Funkhauser.
Here.
Trulis.
Here.
Frieders.
Here.
Hernandez.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Do we have any amendments to tonight's agenda? We have no presentations or public hearings. Do we have any citizen comments on items that are on the agenda this evening? If not, I will entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda. Roll call please.
Milchewski.
Aye.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Trulis.
Aye.
Coke.
Aye.
Clocher.
Aye.
Frieders.
Aye.
Hernandez.
Aye.
Colosimo.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, we have no minutes for approval this evening. I do have a couple of proclamations this evening. First proclamation is for Poppy Days. So I will read the proclamation and if you ladies would like to come up and maybe say a little bit about Poppy Days and take a quick photo. So, let's turn this one. Whereas America is a land of freedom, preserved and protected willingly and freely by citizen soldiers. Whereas millions who have answered the call to arms have died on the field of battle. Whereas a nation of peace must be reminded of the price of war and the debt owed to those who have died in war. Whereas the red poppy has been designated as a symbol of sacrifice of lives in all wars. Whereas American Legion Post 489 and American Legion Auxiliary Unit 489 have pledged to remind America annually of this debt through the distribution of the memorial flower, so that May 8th through 12th, 2018 may serve as Poppy Awareness Days. Therefore, I, Gary J. Glinski, Mayor of the United City of Yorkville, do hereby proclaim Poppy Awareness Days in the United City of Yorkville and request all citizens to observe these days by wearing a poppy and making contributions for this worthy cause. Dated this 27th day of March, 2018. I know we have some ladies from the Legion Auxiliary. So I know we're going to have the Boy Scouts helping you out this year, and we're going to open it up to anyone else.
Anybody else that would like to help us, we're going to be at several locations collecting money for poppies. All the money goes to the rehab fund, like into Heinz Veteran Hospital and LaSalle Veterans Home, and those people, it's totally for the rehab. And we appreciate all the businesses that let us put cans in their businesses and the ones that let us stand out front that pass them out. And we collect donations. We don't sell the poppies, we collect donations. And we appreciate all of you getting involved. And hopefully you'll see us around town and you'll wear the poppy to pray.
All right.
Thank
all right,
you.
Thank you, Joy.
Thank you.
Okay, next we have a proclamation for National Service Recognition Day. Whereas service to others is a hallmark of the American character and central to how we meet our challenges. And whereas national service expands economic opportunity by creating more sustainable, resilient communities and providing education, career skills, and leadership abilities for those who serve. Whereas AmeriCorps and Senior Corps participants serve in more than 50,000 locations across the country, bolstering the civic, neighborhood, and faith-based organizations that are so vital to our economic and social well-being. And whereas national service participants increase the impact of the organizations they serve, both through their direct service and by managing millions of additional volunteers. And whereas national service represents a unique public-private partnership that invests in community solutions and leverages non-federal resources to strengthen community impact and increase the return on taxpayer dollars. And whereas National Service participants demonstrate commitment, dedication, and patriotism by making an intensive commitment to service, a commitment that remains with them in their future endeavors. And whereas the Corporation for National and Community Service shares a priority with local leaders nationwide to engage citizens, improve lives, and strengthen communities, and is joining with the National League of Cities, the National Association of Counties, Cities of Service, and local leaders across the country for National Service Recognition Day on April 3rd, 2018. Therefore, be it resolved that I, Gary J. Galinsky, Mayor of the United City of Yorkville, do hereby proclaim April 3rd, 2018 as National Service Recognition Day and encourage residents to recognize the positive impact of national service in our city, to thank those who serve, and to find ways to give back to their communities. Dated this 27th day of March, 2018. And now we have several people here for national service who would like to come forward.
I have here several of our volunteers and of course our ladies from the Poppy presentation, our wonderful volunteers as well. But the people that you have coming up here are part of our retired and senior volunteer program. And this is a national initiative. It's going on all over the country this week and next week to recognize the profound impact of volunteerism across America. So Karen is one of our AARP tax aides, Karen DeAngelis. She puts in many, many hours of training, helping to train tax aides and then helping bring money back into your community through income tax assistance. Anne works in several of the offices of nonprofits in our city, and she actually gives many, many hours of office assistance and extra help. It's amazing. Deb is actually one of our activity helpers in our center here in Yorkville over at the Beecher Center. Nick is a senior companion. He goes and helps isolated seniors. He's also a transportation volunteer and one of our main fundraisers. And he does a lot of work with us as well. So these are also some of your older volunteers and role models. How about that for the younger people? So
we definitely appreciate all your service. We would like to present you with this proclamation. We would like to accept it. I know we are working at the food pantry. Is that April 5th?
Yes, actually on Thursday, Distribution Day, we'll be over at the Kendall County Community Food Pantry. Mayor Galinsky, Mayor Hausler, we'll have Jackie Kowalski from Millbrook, we'll have Gail Johnson, and of course, aldermen are also welcome, and other people are welcome to join us. So thank you for being part of this.
Absolutely.
I really appreciate it.
So thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we do have a motion for Illinois Risk Fund Pooling. I'll entertain a motion to approve the Illinois Public Risk Fund Pooling Agreement and bylaws and authorize the mayor to execute.
So moved.
Second.
Comments or questions? Roll call, please.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Trulis?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Hernandez?
Aye.
Colosimo?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Motion carries.
I will entertain a motion to approve a letter of support for SJRCA9 and request that State Senators Oberweis and Resin co-sponsor the legislation.
So moved.
Second.
Comments, questions? I've seen this come across in one of the IML briefings, and I asked Mark to put together a letter. It's nice to let our senators know that this is something that we support. Even though at the rate we're growing, we're only a few years away, but it'll help all those other smaller communities. So we will send this right away. Roll call, please.
Trulis?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Nay.
Frieders?
Aye.
Hernandez?
Aye.
Colosimo?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, I will turn it over to Alderman Frieders for the Public Works Committee report.
Okay.
Anything exciting on there this evening?
Well, bet.
I make a motion to accept bid and award contract with the stipulated alternate number four to Geneva Construction in an amount not to exceed $1,489,553.11.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Comments or questions?
I thought all the proposal was going to table it.
Do we have a motion to table?
You guys are cruel.
Roll call.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Hernandez?
Aye.
Colosimo?
Aye.
Milchewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Trulis?
Aye.
Motion carries.
All right, it's only been 7 or 8 years, right? Okay, next is Economic Development Committee report, and I will turn that over to Alderman Koch.
And downtown TIF ordinance removal of parcels. Motion to approve the ordinance approving an amendment to the downtown Yorkville tax increment financing redevelopment project area to remove certain parcels from the project area and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second.
Comments, questions? Roll call, please.
I'm sorry. Do we want to make it like a new tradition that we read all of the parcels being removed?
No.
Just so that everyone didn't know? No. Sorry. Just check.
There's a map.
Well, the language is beautiful. Did you need me? I won't demonstrate.
How about, that's kind of a long list. Why don't you just read off all the county board members that are opposed to it?
I think that's actually easier. We'll let the media take care of that.
Any other comments or questions? Roll call, please.
Plocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Hernandez?
Aye.
Colosimo?
Aye.
Milchewski?
Abstain.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Trulis?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Motion carries.
We have no public safety committee report. I will turn it over to Alderman Milchewski for admin committee report.
I'd like to make a motion to approve a contract for the renewal of existing HMO and PPO plans to Blue Cross Blue Shield. Approve a contract with Blue Cross Blue Shield for a dental plan. Approve a contract with LinkedIn Financial for life insurance to approve employee HRA card funds in the same amount as fiscal year 2018, and to authorize non-union employee contribution percentages in the amounts of 9% for HMO coverage and 11% for PPO coverage, and with the union employee contribution rates in the amounts as authorized by the police department and public works union contracts.
Do we have a second? Comments or questions? Roll call, please.
Frieders?
Aye.
Hernandez?
Aye.
Colosimo?
Aye.
Milchewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Trulis?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Aye.
Motion carries.
I'd like to make a motion to approve a resolution approving a revised salary schedule and step increase and authorize the mayor to execute.
Second.
Comments or questions? Roll call, please.
Hernandez?
Aye.
Colosimo?
Aye.
Milchewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Trulis?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, we have nothing from Park Board, a couple items from Planning and Zoning. So I'll entertain a motion to authorize staff to notify Kendall County that the City Council does not have any objections to the rezoning petition. And as for Walker Road rezoning Warpinski PDC 2018-01.
So moved.
Second.
Comments or questions? This is a 1.5 mile review. Roll call, please.
Colosimo?
Aye.
Milchewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Trulis?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Hernandez?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, and the next one is for BZC 2018-06, LaSalle National Trust, number 47016, Route 34 variance, also a 1.5-mile review. I'll entertain a motion to authorize staff to notify Kendall County that the city council does not have any objections to the variance petition.
So moved.
Second.
Comments or questions? Roll call. Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
According to this, they're asking for a variance from 1,000 feet to 318. If this were to be a city park, what, Christy, do you know is the standard that we would have for this type of operation?
We have to meet our setbacks, and then we would probably take the special use process.
So we would follow 1,000 feet. I know we said that we are going to request them to follow some of our city, or we're going to ask them to follow some of our city standards, because it's rather close to the residents. I'm not as concerned about the actual readiness operation as the concrete crushing area just to the east of that. That's what they've got going on over in Oswego, as well as their stockpile. That's my concern, is the debris, the dust, all that, and the operations that come by. I drive by that twice a day, and I know the type of operation intensity, and I do have a little concern about that being right across from our townhomes and single-family residences, knowing that they have the here. So that's just my concern on this one.
Did we want to make a recommendation for it to be further back, or?
That would be my preference. I mean, even if, especially with the concrete crushing operations, we know there's going to be a lot of, you know, dust and debris out there, but if they can move that further north, you know, try to reposition some of that, that would be my recommendation.
Do we know, would that hindered our operation at all, or?
It would, and they stated that if they do not get the variance, they can conduct this operation within the right of way, so we need to be closer to the resident.
There a reason they can't move it further back?
I mean, what's the difference between 318 feet or 700 feet? I mean, yes, sir.
It's the use, right? This is the barnyard area, and it goes into the farmer's field. That's why they're trying to keep it in that large area with two homes and barns on it.
They're already into the field and not taking the farmat, because you can see the farmat underneath the area. They've got a lot of land to the west. I think they could reposition, but yeah, they're not using as much of the farm or the farmstead as they are the farm for that crushing operation. They're more in the field than they are in the farmat.
A question for Christy and Kathy. Does our objection or contingent approval of this change the county's threshold for approval of the matter?
Yes, if we object, and I don't know how many additional entities would be requested to pass on this, but it does raise the threshold for the needed vote to approve the variance.
Even if our recommendation is approval subject to
I think it would be the same thing. It still wouldn't be an out-and-out recommendation. And the question is, our recommendation would have to be by majority.
Well, the problem is, I mean, you upset them too much. Like Chrissy said, they're just going to do it right away anyway.
Right.
So maybe approve it with maybe a recommendation or an ask to move it as far north as you can. Okay. You know, say, we'll approve it, but we'd appreciate it if you move it as far north as you can so you don't impact our residents as much.
Because they have all the way to the creek, correct?
What's that?
They have all the way to the creek.
This piece of property goes to the creek.
And beyond?
Basically, it goes over to Beecher, and then goes north parallel to the Black Bear Creek Shore. So it's a very large tract of land. They're just looking at it.
No, because I was sitting at a basketball game next to a resident, and they got an email about this. I guess all the property owners were notified, and they were asking me about it. And they're like, we don't want that stuff right there. And I called in the staff, and they said, they're going to do it there no matter what you want, you know?
Was the county in favor of it, and was the county going to pass it regardless of what we do?
I don't know the county stand, but from the staff from the county, they said that this was a benefit because of the abandoned and dilapidated structures that are on the site that I got is willing to tear those down.
Because the county's not going to force tear it down, the properties that are derelict.
But so the really company will do it the right way, though.
Right. Right. And our no vote would simply change the county from what, 6 to 7 votes? So they need one more.
Which at that point, it states that we're actually looking out for the residents and the quality of life right here.
Yeah, but are we looking out for the residents? Because if we don't approve it, they do it in the right way.
We're getting it far enough away.
So they're gonna, Yeah, up to one hook, right? They're going to move it.
Yeah, up to one hook.
Yeah, but if it doesn't pass, then they do it in the right of way.
Yeah. Right.
But the,
if we don't pass it, they do it closer to the right
of way. I think we pass it and then have Christie or Barbara, someone reach out. So we pass it, but I have some concerns.
Well, yeah, but that at $5 to get you a cup of coffee at Starbucks. Well, once we approve it.
Yeah. But like I said, denying it makes it worse, though.
Right.
Yeah, this is a poke at the bear kind of thing. Right. I mean, I remember that big pile that was on, Mount 47, right in front of the bowling alley.
Right.
And even though that was only a partial compared to what this operation is going to look like, this will kind of be the funnel point for the entire project. So either we allow them to do it in the back, or they're going to do it right in front. So I'm partial to not poking the bear at this.
Yeah, I'd recommend approving it and then just asking, again, do what you can to minimize it. Like you said, no.
Why bother asking? Just approve it and move on with the line.
Always the optimist, Carla.
Yeah.
Okay, are you happy with that, Chris, or do you want to make an amendment? Or okay, roll call, please.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Nay.
Tarulis?
Nay.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Hernandez?
Aye.
Colosimo?
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right, now City Council will report. Any City Clerk's report?
No report.
Any Community and Liaison report?
Yep, got it over there.
Yes, sir.
My kids did the sports camp today for the city, and they just wanted me to mention that they are looking forward to it next year.
Nice. Anyone else?
I just had a quick gift from the community in Whispering Meadows for you, Mr. Mayor.
From Mr. Mayor?
Why does he get all the credit?
He's better looking than all of us.
It's not a picture of Funkhauser, is it?
Not this time. Once you retire, I get you a picture of Alderman Funkhauser. So this is just a simple gift. I want to have you read it to the public.
Okay.
And then at the completion of the project, there will be tacos involved.
Okay.
We're genuinely thankful that this went through. So I want you to read this for the community, and then we'll take a nice picture and we can frame that.
Okay.
Just read this.
Dear Yorkville, thanks, bro. Love the Spring Meadows.
Thank you very much.
That's nice.
Hang that up right here.
That's very well hung, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Do we have any staff reports? Okay, we do have an ordinance for the budget on here. Is everyone ready to pass the budget? Should we read the motion or do you want to talk about it? All right, well, we have a conversation, and if we're ready to approve it, we'll do the motion. Anyone else, do you have any comments?
If I could just go through the budget adjustments since the last meeting. So 1 and 2 were in the packet last time. Number 3 relates to library board budget amendments. So there's several amendments within that. Items 4 is as a result of our overestimate of the Road Better Roads pavement project.
What page is that in the report? Not the view, I have a hard copy.
Rob's initial budget memo, right behind the tracker down. So it's the second, third page.
No.
Page 331 of the PDF back if anyone has sent it. Budget adjustment 4 is related to the Road to Better Roads bids coming in lower than we expected, so that's just capturing actual bids. Budget adjustments 5 and 8 are related to health insurance bids coming in lower than we anticipated, so we're capturing that in the budget. And then 6 and 7 is our complicated multi-line item effort to pay for the overage with the Whispering Meadows Road project. So we've approved a package of about $200,000 of additional costs on top of the settlement fund, and we would anticipate to pay for that with budget adjustment 4, which is the Road to Better Roads project costs coming in less than usual. Budget adjustment 5 and 8, which is our health insurance costs coming in less than we expected. And then a lot of movement of operating operation capital expenses from the general fund into MFT, both in this upcoming year and the prior year, so spending down our MFT sooner than we had anticipated, just in an effort to say, let's get Whispering Meadows roads completed immediately, and then deal with the budget ramifications of that about $100,000 or less in a future budget amendment down the road. So all that is typically included within the motion that is on the sheet, which doesn't have to be approved until the end of April, and the ordinance amounts, the ordinance fund amounts in Rob's draft ordinance will reflect those figures as well.
Okay, comments, questions? Yes, sir.
Well, I just had some questions. First of all, let me say that I know that in the past we've approved budgets with deficits because we underestimate our revenues and overestimate our expenses, and every year we've turned out to have a surplus, not a deficit, so I understand why we're doing that. My concern this year is in several aspects. First of all, the one I have in front of me is a $2.3 million deficit for the year. So, and I understand that we're underestimating our revenues, which is a good thing, because revenues is something you kind of have to look at tea leaves and try to figure out what they will be. It's not an exact science, so I get that. One of the things you said that we will have a better idea of an indicator once the first week of March 2018, the sales tax revenue comes in from December. So we've passed that threshold. How did those numbers look? Is it a positive trend, a negative trend? How did that look?
It's an equal trend. So we've been trending at about 0.8% growth from last year to this year, and we hit that target there. So it is less than we had hoped for, and less than what we had assumed last year would be 3% year-over-year growth. But we've amended our projections in fiscal year 18 to accomplish a 0.8% growth. So the message we talked about at admin was that this isn't great, it isn't terrible, it's right on line with what we've been seeing the past several months.
So if we see the 0.08% growth that we are estimating, does that leave us in a 2.3 deficit, or does that chip away at that deficit, and if so, how much?
I'd have to look where you're coming up with the 2.3 deficit. That might be an aggregate budget.
I just went to, you know, when you cut through the chase, you go to the main sheet of the budget where it shows for fiscal year 2018, you got a $29,537,000 in revenue and $32,402,000 in expenditures. I'm not an accountant, but
sure.
That's $2.8 million. I'm sorry, it's 2.3. It's 2.8. 2.865, 105. So, I guess that's my concern. Every year I've been okay with a deficit budget because I've been confident in the ability to make that up during the year, and we ended up in a surplus, which we've always had. This year I think my spidey senses are going up, and I'm not as confident that we're going to be able to shift that budget to the end of the year.
Sure. So I'm going to answer it in two parts. First, directly, the fiscal year 18 projected column, so that's in gray when you get into the budget detail sheet, would be reflective of a 0.8% growth assumption in sales taxes. So it's the budget page 46, so that's your first page of your general fund. Your municipal sales tax line item is 01000400040, so it's the third line item.
Right.
The 2.965 million would be a 0.8% growth. So we've accommodated that in our projections because we had budgeted for 3.012, and so that's in line with 2.965. So. Not great in that we were hoping for record numbers again. It's actually down about 1.8% from last year's Christmas sales. But last year's Christmas sales were the second best sales tax month we've ever had. This year's Christmas sales were the third best sales tax month we've ever had. So we're still going to do record numbers as far as sales tax go. It's just less than what we had projected last year. So that's the first answer. The second answer is, I think I need to pin you down on the $2.3 million deficit. You're looking at a budget summary sheet?
Right, I was looking at page 39.
Okay.
Revenues for fiscal year 2019 versus expenditures for fiscal year 2019, page 40. Basically 39 to 40.
I think that number he's talking about, 2.865, that's the fund balance summary. That's a fund balance deficit, right?
That could be, based on your cash flow.
That's 2.865 million.
So if you go to 106.
Got it.
So it's a page with two sections, cash flow surplus deficit, which is every fund in aggregate and just a simple surplus deficit. And then the cash flow fund balance, so over time, how you're drawing that down. So your fiscal year 19 proposed amount, and again, that doesn't take into account all the adjustments that are listed in the memo, so some of those things might shift around a little bit, is a deficit of 2.668 million.
Right.
But that includes, and I'm just gonna take them off down the list, $335,000 in general fund, which we've been talking about. We hope that we're conservative there, and hopefully each year that number gets crushed out and ends up being neutral, or has been positive. Fox Hill is $4,500. Sunflower is negative $3,100. So again, those are immaterial. Motor fuel tax is a separate bank account, even though that's included within this entire budget figure. So those are motor fuel taxes coming in from the state. We have to spend them now within a certain number of years. They don't even reflect our rural bank account because they're in a separate bank account because they have to be by state law. So take that one off the table. Citywide capital, it's a large deficit amount of $747,000, so we'll have to go up and take a look at all the projects that's including. Water and sewer, we've been trying to draw down those fund balances over the past few years because we've been doing large projects. So I would say that that's more of a conscious decision. And then land cash is positive because we're expecting grant funds. Countryside TIF, negative $600,000, we know that that's been an issue. And we're going to be putting on an incentive here, hopefully, at the end of this calendar year, when the hotel opens. And then the downtown TIF at $288,000 in deficit for this year. That's a result of our short-term loan obligations. So in the aggregate, $2.6 million in deficit between all of those things, it may be concerning, especially if they were all housed within the general fund, or if they weren't conscious decisions to do projects, to pay out incentives to developers to get a hotel and a couple other things. And we're going to debt service and other projects in the water and sewer fund. But on the aggregate, it's sustainable for this year, and in my opinion, is a result of policy decisions that you've made over the past several years. So it's really when we get into fiscal year 20 that you've got another year of $1.9 million in deficit, and then your cash flow fund balance, 4.537 million at the bottom of the page.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we're hoping that our general fund has turned around. We've been conservative with that. Water and sewer ends up being okay with revenues that have come in. And then the impacts within
countryside and the downtown and everything we're doing with the TIF start to materialize and turn around those TIF balances. So in my mind, the biggest threats to that long-term stability are the TIF funds and making sure that the countryside is wiped out and those last three lots are built.
Well, just one year, you got that going from negative 616 to a projected positive 44 in just one year.
Hotel.
Yep. Well, that's a 650.
The hotel.
Well, I get that. And I get it's reading tea leaves. It's just, what if you read them wrong? All right.
Anyone else?
Thank you.
So we want to digest this a couple more weeks?
I just got one little question. So last year we lost 10% of the debt, right? We did. And they did it again this year. The governor is proposing a budget which has a 10% increase in LGDF. Last year, the General Assembly and the Republicans that broke with the governor to vote on the budget had only approved the 10% reduction because they were accelerating payments to us. So functionally, and from a cash perspective, we received the same amount of money as we had expected within a 12-month time period. But because we use accrual accounting instead of cash flow accounting, we can only count 12 of those entries in one year. So from a budget perspective, it looks like we had 10%. But from an actual cash flow, it has an impact on us. We still received $1.3 million, remember, over a 12-month period. It's just the budget doesn't let us compress that.
So what are you assuming for 19?
We are assuming the IML estimates, which off the top of my head, I don't remember what they are. And the IML is not assuming a 10%. They're not assuming a 10% reduction.
So that number could change by 10%.
It could. The governor has proposed it each year since he's been governor, and it hasn't gained traction until this past year when the General Assembly said it's okay to do this because we're accelerating payments.
Right.
So we are assuming the IML estimate plus all of the population increases too. So that's
right.
Anyone else? So any suggestions? You want to approve this or wait a couple weeks? Anyone?
I'm okay approving it.
Okay. Yeah, go with it or? Well, I'll make a motion. You'd rather wait a couple weeks? That's fine. That's fine. Right? We need to have approved by April 30th. Yeah, get your questions in and we'll look at it again in 2 weeks. That is fine by me. Okay, any additional business? We do have executive session, a quick one for litigation. So I'll entertain a motion to go into executive session for litigation. Roll call, please.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis? Koch?
Aye.
Clocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Hernandez?
Aye.
Colosimo?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Motion carries.